And grab your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter, finishing off chapter 1 this morning. And Peter, you know, it's here, the early church was under persecution, times were tough. And so, how does a Christian keep a joyful spirit in the midst of all the battles and everything that's going on? And I think it's a good question for us today. And so Peter starts off, right, review of this chapter. He talks about what we have in Christ. As a Christian, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. All our hope isn't in this world. It's the kingdom to come and the Spirit of God within us, who brings his kingdom within us. And he talks about the inheritance, the blessings we have that's waiting for us. We just need to hang on. Now I encourage you to hang on. And I saw a meme the other day. It's amazing how it was a 14-day Flander curve turned into, how many days we're into now, right? It's just, I had no concept. I don't know you guys, but when we all started off this, I told my wife, this will be a couple weeks, and then we'll be back to normal. Did anyone else feel that way, right? I felt like that's how it was kind of sold to us. Is this going to be temporary? And I'm hearing more and more people say, well, maybe this is the new normal. And I'm like, no, I can't handle this. This week I was in one of the stores and, saw a little confrontation. I wasn't involved, but boy, in Hannaford and, I leave with some children without masks, and he had someone who was a medic on the mask, and they clashed, and I felt bad for the 16-year-old girl who all of a sudden now becomes referee, and just broke my heart to see that. And luckily, it de-escalated, but I know I would talk with Zach, who works at Ellsworth, and he goes, there was a brawl out in the parking lot, all because of this. Tensions are getting high, and people don't know what to do. As Christians, the best thing we can do is lift our eyes and get our eyes off this world and look at Jesus. And all we have, folks, and as Christian, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. And I'm so thankful for that, because I'm watching the news. So many people, I think the root of it is this hopelessness. It's this hopelessness. Only if we get through this, or only if we do that, maybe then we'll have peace. And the peace we have is in Christ inside of us. But the end of this chapter, and we're going to get into this, that I think Peter really encourages us that we need to be people of the Word. Right? People of the Word, that God has given us these scriptures, and in here we can seek him out, and he speaks to us. It's amazing how a book becomes this two-way communication. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you're like, God, I need to hear from you. And you open it up, you start reading, and it just pierces your soul with what you need for that moment. And God speaks to us through his word, and we can pour things out, and we find through the accounts and through the Psalms, especially the Psalms. I've spent a lot of time in the Psalms and Proverbs lately. And the Psalms is a good way, because if you don't know how to express yourself, the Psalms is a powerful tool, as you can find Psalms that relate to what you're going through. And then Proverbs is just wisdom. Because I don't know about you, but I've been praying for a lot of wisdom. Lord, what should I do? And the Proverbs are full of wisdom. So I spend a lot of time in Proverbs and Psalms. But anyway, we need to realize, as people of the Word, now look, the entirety of your word, this is Psalms 119, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your judgment, righteous judgments, endures forever. And Peter wraps this up talking about the enduring word. We're going to talk about that just a little bit. But God's word doesn't change. And I think that's where sort of the progressive movement is really rubbing against, because they want to redefine things, redefine what family is, redefine right, redefine wrong. They want to go through and rewrite these things. And the problem is, especially as Christians, we stand on the Word of God. And it doesn't change. Sometimes Sometimes I get puzzled because people know what I do for a living. People know I'm a pastor. And they'll come up and they'll ask me my opinion on something. And then they get upset when I give them the Bible. You know, if a couple comes to me and says, "Pastor, will you marry us?" I say, "Yeah, you know, I'll sit down and do some counseling." I said, "But I will give something from the scriptures during your ceremony." I'm like, "You came to me. I'm a pastor. What do you want? Right? What do you expect?" You know, same thing with a funeral. I say, "Look, I always give the gospel at a funeral. Always." "Well, we don't want that." One lady, she was all indignant. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, you're coming to me. You want to use the church, you want a minister, and you're surprised that I want to mention the Bible?" Right? I mean, I just kind of scratched my head. Actually, it's funny because she came out, she goes, "Well, just don't use the word sin." And I was like, "What?" She goes, "You can say anything you want, but just don't use the word sin." I said, "Well, sin just means to fallen short." And she goes, "Well, you can say all that." So I'm like, "Okay, I can do this." And so I think I gave one of the strongest gospel presentations because instead of just using sin, I had to describe sin. And afterwards, I was like, "Oh, she's going to give it to me." She was fine. But it's funny how people get hung up. But as Christians, we need the Word of God will endure forever. When everything goes, even when this country falls, the Word of God is still going to stand. It is not going to change. It doesn't bend to political opinion. It doesn't bend to social pressures. The entirety of your Word is truth. All of it is true. From Genesis to Revelation, everything that God put in here is truth. And the danger comes in when we start flopping and changing. I know churches to this day that will not preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. I've talked to their pastors. "And we don't talk about this and we don't talk about that. We don't touch this passage." And I try to be pretty honest. I try to go through books. I try to go through chunks to keep me in check. To present the whole counsel of God. And Romans warns that there's going to be a time that we have those who are false teachers and do what? Who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who exchange the truth of God. And I think we're living in such a time as this, where lies and heresies are being brought forth. From pulpits, if I may add. Denying the truth of the scripture. He warns Timothy in 1 Timothy that there's a time when men are going to have itching ears. "Tell me what I want to hear. Make me feel good." Right? I mean, I like feel good stories, don't you? You know, especially now, you know, something makes me feel good. But sometimes I go through the scriptures and I don't feel so good. Sometimes it steps on my toes. I talked to a pastor friend this past week, and he talked about the process of preparing a sermon. And he goes, he likened it to taking a piece of wood and putting it on to a lathe. I don't know if you're familiar with a lathe. They put it on there, and they'll spin the wood. And shaping a sermon is like taking this block of wood and taking it and honing it down. He goes, so much stuff ends up on the floor. He goes, as a pastor, going through the process, there's so much that you look at. There's so much things you ponder through throughout the week that I can't present. If I presented everything that I was all, you know, everything I studied all week, you guys would be here forever. You'd be like, "Pastor, come on. It's supper time." I saw Gloria. I think you said you had gone to a church where the pastor preached for like 3 hours. Woohoo! All God's people said, yeah, I won't push you this morning, right? But we live in a day and age where people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And it's nothing new. The scriptures come down, and I love this sort of illustration here. Think of the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. While we are here, God has left us his word, and more so than any other generations, that we have the complete whole word of God. We can go back and forth, and it goes so unutilized so many times in our life. But the first thing we should do is, any subject or anything else, go back and say, okay, what does the Bible say? What's the instruction manual? And I'm a guy, so usually the directions are the last thing I look at. And I've gotten a little wiser over the years. A little. Right? Because I've learned years ago, I love putting together Christmas. At Christmas time, putting together all the things, because everything's assembly required. And I forget my presents. I love putting stuff together. Anyone else like that? I like, okay. Right? So Chris is like, no. Right? I lie, y'all. So one year, and I was probably about 13, 14 years old, my brother got, it was a Hot Wheel garage, and it was a real cool thing. It had a little elevator. You cranked it up. It had a little spring. You bring it up, get to the top, and it would go down, and you do it again. But it came in a million pieces, and my job was put together. So I was putting it all together, and I was gluing it. I was like, this is going to come apart. I'm going to glue it. It doesn't say glue it, but first mistake. So I started gluing it with super glue. I got halfway through, and I realized, because I was like, who needs the instructions, that the spring that brings that thing back up and down, I didn't put it in. And it's in the bottom of everything I had glued. So I was like, ah. So I had to slowly, carefully break it, because my mom told me that if I couldn't get it back together, I would have to buy him a new one. And so I was like, ah! It's like, oh, if I had just read it. And it's funny, because the instructions, once you opened it up, guess what was in big, bold, black letters? Put the spring, you know, don't forget. So I wasn't the only one, but it seemed so easy. I'll just put it all together, except for one little piece that needed to go where it needed to go. The Christian life is so much like that. The scripture leads us and guides us and directs us in all our ways. His word is a light unto our path. It leads us, guides us, and sets the tone for our lives if we will seek it out and read it. This is what Peter says at the end here of chapter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The first thing the gospel is coming with anyone who comes to the word of God is our need of salvation. The scriptures are clear. God created things perfect in the beginning. Man brought sin in. And ever since then, pointed to a Savior. Through the shedding of blood, there's remission of sin. Someone was have to die to pay the price. And the gospel is laid out. And Jesus came. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That Jesus died for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. Above everything else, you know, people want to go down, especially if you get someone who's sort of hostile to the gospel, antagonistic, that's your ego. I need another cup of coffee this morning. But people who are hostile, you know, they want to say, well, you know, are you cutting the edges of your beard? Or, you know, oh, you can't eat lobster. And they want to go to these obscure parts of Scripture, right? And listen, we can get to some of those things. But let me ask you something. Don't lose the forest through the trees. What's the big picture of the gospel? That God loves sinful men and he died for them to redeem them. He came to save sinners. That's the gospel, the theme of the book. Don't lose that in the midst of it all. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. It's no wonder that Satan wants it removed. It's no wonder why those who are under his power wants to scrub it from the public square. Years ago, there is interesting because you know the little fish? You've seen the little Christian fish? That started because in Roman times, the church was underground. And what would happen is that they would turn around and a Christian would draw half the fish, and then if the other person was a Christian, they'd draw the other half, and you'd know that they were Christians. But what a lot of people don't know is that before that, what was happening, the church would use verses. And someone would start a verse, and if they were a believer, they would finish the verse. And that was a good way, to get to know if, are you a Christian? Well, the Romans found out, and actually they were having soldiers memorize scripture so that they could pass off as Christians to find out churches. But what was happening was the soldiers were getting saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they had to scrub that. And so rumor has it, I don't know what I heard, was actually the Romans are the ones who got away from the scripture and got into doing the fish, because that was a benign way. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That through this, young Timothy, got saved because of the scriptures, and that from the childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. As we get into the scriptures, it's amazing what happens. Jim Baker, I don't know if you guys remember him. He was the PTL guy. I remember my mom watched the show, and he ended up going to jail because of taking money. His interesting thing, he wrote a book while he was in prison. And I think it was the title of the book. But he was a prosperity gospel guy. Oh, you just love God and he'll give you money. That was kind of the premise of it. It's interesting. In prison, he said that he really started to read the scriptures. And he's like, wow, I realized how wrong I was being in the word and cleansing us. Now, it's a matter of the heart, right? It's not, at home I have, I put this picture up, my daughter was like, hey, Dad, it looks like your office. I have a pile of Bibles in my office. Right? And I have different translations, and like I said, we're really privileged with having the Word of God in as many translations as we can to help us understand and dig into it. We have more tools available to us than ever before. Right? But let me tell you something. The secret isn't in the leather and isn't in the paper. It's the words that are in the scriptures. As a kid, I remember we grew up in a Christian home, and so the Bible was really reverend. I remember getting yelled at because we'd come home from church and I put another book on top, and Mom was like, hey, nothing goes on top of the Bible. But that kind of formed sort of a warped sensibility in me that it's the physical part of it, that this is magical in some way. And it's not. It's the words that are contained in it. It's the truth that are in this can sit on a shelf all day long, but if you don't read it, is it going to do you any good? No. Right? So it's not a prop, it's not a magic solution, it's nothing else. If it's not read, then it's of no effect. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the process of reading it, of learning it, of preaching it. That is the effectual power of God's word written upon our hearts. 1 Peter goes in. And he talks about this idea of being washed in the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Then in here, we are washed. Ephesians has a wonderful passage that talks about actually marriage. Why am I flipping ahead here? Talking about marriage. But in here, he pulls out this really nugget of truth. I love this. Verse 26 and 27 in Ephesians chapter 5. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, washing of water by the word, that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. The washing of the word. As I read God's word, that it has power in my life. It convicts me of sin. It shows me what I'm not supposed to do. In here, it helps me to do what I'm supposed to do. In here, it cleanses me. I'll tell you, as I wrestle with the things of this world, and I look what's going on, it's refreshing to get into the scriptures, to pull away from the world, and let it have its work in us, to cleanse us, to make us holy. James tells us, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And James just has a wonderful way here, because he talks about the word of God, and we look at it, and as I look at it, and I do it, the key is, once again, you know, the magic isn't in the leather, it isn't in the pages, it's applying and reading and taking it and saturating your heart with it, and doing it. If it's not done, then it's just words on a page. And James likens it to a mirror. And how about you, but I get up in the morning and look in the mirror. Ain't pretty. And I have a choice. As I look in the mirror and I see the smudge and I see the hair and I see all those things, right? I have a choice. I can fix what I see, or is it, forget about it. Right? I'm famous for, I have a work shirt that I'll put on if I'm working on the car or doing something like that. And I'll extend wear it. I'll take it off because I'm like, it's dirty anyways. I'm going to get dirty again, so I'll put it somewhere and I'll pick it up again and put it on. And it just gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier until finally I'm kind of like Charlie Brown, you know the guy Pigpen? You know, you kind of walk and you see these little dust clouds, right? And I'm not the only one, right? But I'll do this, and my wife, we're doing something. I came in, and I just finished up, and we're going to run down to the store. And I was like, all right, I just need something. My wife's like, you got to change that shirt. I'm like, it's not that bad. I'm not done. It'd be fine. And she'll always say, go look in the mirror. It's not that bad. Just go look in the mirror. It's like, all right. So I'll go look in the mirror. You know what? It's that bad. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll wash up and clean up because, right? Because our perception is so different. I'm not that dirty. Okay, right? But you get that outside, and that's what the mirror does. The mirror gives you that outside perspective, and you're like, oh man, it is that bad. The Word of God is that effect in us, and we have a choice as we come to it, and we look at it and say, okay, God, this is what you say about marriage. God, this is what you say about abortion. God, this is what you say about whatever you want to put in here, right? Oh, by the way, Tuesday's primary, get out there and vote. Your vote belongs to God. You want, sick of this mess? Go out and vote as God would have you vote. Anyways, God, how do you want me to vote on this? There you go. I made it fit. Right? God, what's the point? Let me seek out your word. And what happens when I read it? I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. Ooh, that's not what my thought is. So either I need to change or God does. And guess what? God doesn't change, therefore I need to. What happens when I look into the mirror of the Word? And do I resolve myself, God, I will change. And I will do it. Second thing we see, we love by the word. We love by the word. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It just wants it. There you go. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I look at what's going on and watch the news, and people are being torn apart. You know, by skin color, by political affiliation. I have a guy on Facebook that I'm going to have to hide him because just the hateful things that he's putting up. And I don't need that in my head. God hasn't called us to that. And I read the comment, now I see the guy. The guy is the nicest guy. And I'll, hi, how you doing? We're cordial, everything, right? And I'm like, oh, this is what you really think. And I'm like, you know, I can't do that. I'd rather see him in the street and be friends with him, right? Because God's called me to love him. And reading what I'm reading and seeing what I'm seeing, it stirs within me anger and stirs within me almost hate. And God hasn't called us that with sincere love of the brother. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Folks, the love that binds us is the love of Christ. Actually, James, I'll pick up him again, says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Love without partiality. You know what? I love my wife. Oh, wow. Isn't that special? I was like, wait a minute, Pastor, you're supposed to love her. Okay, yeah, I love her. You know what? I love my kid. Some days it's a little challenging than others, but I love my kid. You say, well, Pastor, you're supposed to love your kid, right? Oh, okay. But there are people that are hard to love. You know who I'm talking about. We don't want names. Right? But we get that struggle. There are people, almost everyone has that one person in their life, just the mention of their name gets your blood kind of boiling. They don't have to do anything, say anything. Just, to, right? It's like, and I look at that and God says, look, I need to love my enemies. Ugh. There's that mirror. He puts in here without partiality. Folks, things like sexism, racism, all those things don't belong in the church of God. It doesn't. We are called to love all. If they are unsaved, we need to love them for the sake of the gospel, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If they are brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to love them as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. You can't get around it. The Bible says they'll know that you are Christians by your politics? No. By your protests? No. They'll know that you are Christians by your love. By your love. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Don't be a phony baloney lover. Nothing wrong with baloney, but don't be a phony baloney. I don't even know where that really comes from, but, right? Don't be phony. Like I said, there's that guy on, nice to me on face-to-face, but behind his back, don't be that way. Don't be all smiley to someone's face and then gossiping and tearing them down behind their back. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. We talked about this last week. Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Be loving. What, Pastor, what if I don't feel that love? Love them anyways. Put an action to that love, and the heart will follow. Don't be led by your heart. Do what is right, and the heart will follow. Second Samuel says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature. And this is when David was going to be chosen. And you guys know the story. He brought in all the brothers. One by one, all of Jesse's sons came down. And there were some tall, good-looking guys. And, oh, he must be the one. God said, nope, nope, nope. And finally went through all the brothers. And Samuel was like, hey, is there anyone else? Well, there's David. But, that's just David. Well, go get him. And he came down. God says, this is the one. Yeah, but he's short. He ain't such a good-looking guy. God says, look, it's not the outside. It's not the stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I tell you, my heart breaks as I see all this racial unrest. Because Jesus Christ came to die for all lives, for all souls. The door is open for all to come in. For God so loved the world. That's everyone. I remember as a kid learning in Sunday school, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I grew up with that. And these things should pour out of his church to unite us in him. Look at someone's heart and judge them according to those things, not by the outside. I remember when my family moved to Maine. You guys have heard the story. My stepfather took a bus, gutted it out, turned it into a camper, and a pastor was going to give us some land. And while we waited for him, we lived up on this camp in the middle of Island Falls, Maine. It was the end of the dump road. And us kids, we thought this was great. We bathed in the river. We swung from the trees. We were just little savages. And years later, there was a pastor who came and visited us. And years later, now I'm an adult, and the pastor who had, we had gone to his church, he was in charge of a mission, sort of like village missions for opening churches. And so I applied there. And he introduced me to the board, and I found this really interesting. He brought me to the board. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I knew this guy when he was really little. He goes, I came in and I found this family destitute in the woods. And he went on to talk about how he took us under his wing and how he kind of saved us. And the more he talked, the more I felt bad about myself. He talked about how poor we were and the condition of the kids. And I was like, have you ever been in that place where people look down on you? It doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good at all. See, that's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He loves us and brings us in as we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to him. He says, come. And he'll work on us as we come to him. I love this passage in Revelation. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hand. This is the church up in heaven. And what a scene that's going to be. All different races, all different colors, all different backgrounds, but we're all there because of Jesus Christ. And we will all sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. All together in unison. Folks, our Savior unites. He brings us things in common, a purpose, a goal, the Word, all these things. We need to love according to the Word. Lastly, we talk about the endurance of the Word, or endure in the Word. Peter puts it this way. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flowers of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Folks, all this world is going to fade away, except God's word will stand. And my heart breaks because Christians are racing to be relevant. They're racing to be like the world, to agree with the world because we want to be liked by the world. Folks, all that stuff will not last. It's the Word of God that will. Jesus himself said, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot and not one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The jot and tittle are in Hebrew, are the little accent marks. All the little markings. Now one of it is worthless. Now one of it is going to fade away. God's word will endure. And so as a Christian, let me tell you something. Over the years, I used to buy a lot of cheap stuff. You guys know me. I'm a cheap guy. I like to think I'm frugal, but I'm probably cheap. And time and time again, I've eased off because, you know, I remember hearing an older, wiser man tell me, you get what you pay for, right? And I'm slowly, you know, because I've gone and, you know, going to Harbor Freight, and I'm a big Harbor Freight guy because it's cheap, you know, and I don't use a whole lot of stuff. My wife doesn't let me fix things too much around the house because I'm no Tim the Toolman Taylor, but, you know. But in here, you know, I've gone out and bought the tool. Few bucks cheaper. Get it home and it breaks. You're shaking your head. You've been down this road, right? And it breaks. It doesn't do the job. Oh, then you buy it again. Right? And if I would have bought the good one to begin with, right? Why? Because you want the thing that's going to last. That's where you want to invest. The thing that's going to endure. Folks, dare I say, I think the world is pursuing some very cheap things that are going to fade, that aren't going to last. Christian, rise up and cling to the words of the Scriptures. They will not fade away. It will last. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled in heaven. It's the Word of God that has effect. It's the Word of God that's going to endure, that's going to last. You know, years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, no one's going to remember anything that Pastor John said. And that's fine. My words are just that, words. But hopefully the Word of God, that will stick with you. Now, I knew I was going to talk about the Word of God, so I did an interesting thing I usually don't do. I went back and actually looked at all the Bible references, and I don't know how many note-takers there are. But I have, throughout this sermon, there's almost 30 Bible references that I've tossed out at you. That's almost one per minute. I say, man, that's a lot. You know what? If you will heed just one of those and do it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 31. All good, all true. Forget anything that I have said. Cling to the word of God. Cling to the word of God. It is true. Seek it out for wisdom. Seek it out for counsel. Apply it to your life. Once again, you can have a stack of Bibles in your home. It can be fancy leather. Right? I think this is calf skin. But you know what? If it's not read, it profits nothing. Years ago, I went to the hospital and knocked on a lady's door. And she asked me if I'd come in, and I said, yeah, I heard you're not doing too well, and your family asked me if I would visit you, and do you mind if you have a little bit? She goes, you're a pastor? I said, yeah. She goes, you can't be a pastor. I'm like, why? She goes, your Bible's too small. You know, pastor's got to have a big... I said, it's not the size. It's what's in it. And can I share with you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I had an opportunity to share her the gospel. That day she didn't make a decision. I've never saw her again. But see, God's word says he'll never return void. Right? It's not the pages, it's not the leather, it's not the binding. It can be on a phone, it can be on a screen. The key is to read it and heed it and do it. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, help us to be people of the word. Lord, help us to seek it out, to diligently plow through its pages for truth to live by. Lord, help us to be like the Bereans who searched out the scriptures daily for truth. And Lord, help us to do it. Help us to stand firm upon the word of God. And Lord, it will change our lives. It'll change our perspective. It'll change us into your image. Because behind it all, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Word. Penetrate our souls. We ask this in your name.